Hi, this is David Benzel. This is part four of our four-part series of radio interviews for sport parents, done here at Heartbeat Radio, WRHB 1410. This series covers the four-step journey taught in my book, From Chump to Champ, How Individuals Go from Good to Great. In our fourth session, we discuss the final step in the Chump to Champ journey, how to help your child believe in the certainty of success.
Hi, David.
Hello. We're ready for our fourth session here in this series that we're doing.
This is, and this is an awesome series for those of you that are just catching on today. It's based off of the book, From Chump to Champ, and this is step four. Do you want to recap the first three steps?
Yeah, we really should. When we began this series, we talked about the fact that the book, From Chump to Champ, is all about how individuals can go from good to great. All right, so it's not that anybody really is a chump at any given moment, but we're all at a point, and there's so much more in us. So it's a journey from good to great. And I found that most people don't have a plan. They don't have a strategy on how to go from good to great. We end up so often just wishing we could go from good to great, hoping we'll go from good to great, but we don't have a plan. So in my experience as an athlete and then as a coach and even as a parent, I found a strategy. And when I started using this four-point plan, it changed everything for me. Step number one, we said, was to dream, to form a dream about what you want to be, do, or have. It's a big vision. It's not specific like the next step, which is to aim. After you dream, you aim. Well, what do you aim at? You aim at targets, specific targets or goals that help make the dream go from fantasy to fact. So the second step was aim at your goals, your targets. Last week, we used the third verb, which is imagine. That when you imagine the outcome as if it's already done, now you're using that movie theater in your mind to actually see it. Athletes call it visualization. But you can go beyond just visualize. You can see it, you can feel it, you can smell it, you can taste it. Anything that, any of the five senses that you can employ, you can help yourself move from chump to champ because you're seeing the picture in your head as it is going to be, as if it already is. And the subconscious grabs that and helps move you in that direction.
Right.
So that's where we are so far. We did dream and then aim at the targets, and then imagine it as if it's so.
All right. And today is the fourth and final step?
Today is the fourth step in this series. That's right. The fourth step is believe. And I think I mentioned last week, this is one of the toughest ones of the four. When I interview people and ask them, of these four, which is most difficult for you? Almost everyone says to believe. To believe means, do you believe with absolute certainty that this is going to happen? Do you believe with absolute certainty and commitment that you will overcome all obstacles and you will reach your dream? And that's where people will say, you know, I've got a good dream, and, you know, I've got some pretty worthy goals when I work at the goals. And yeah, every once in a while I can see it in my head. I can imagine it happening, but I'm not sure I really believe it's going to happen.
Right. Because there's a big difference between wanting and actually believing.
Yes.
Full force.
Yes. In fact, there's even a difference between positive thinking and positive believing. You probably don't remember this book because it was written a long, long time ago by Norman Vincent Peale. It was called The Power of Positive Thinking. My mother made me read this book way back in like 7th or 8th grade. But it was a revolutionary book because it talked about the power of thinking positively. Well, positive believing kind of goes a step beyond that. And there's an old story. I'm sure it's a fictional story. I've heard it many times about a high wire walker who used to take his high wire act to Niagara Falls once a year. He would stretch his cable across the river above the falls every year, and he would walk all the way across. Now, he was unusual in that he didn't use the traditional balancing pole that we usually see a high wire walker use.
Right.
He used a wheelbarrow with 200 pounds of rock in it.
What?
Yeah,
that's
he would
insane.
Balance it. He would balance with a wheelbarrow. So he'd start on one side of the river, and all the reporters and photographers would be on the other side. And as I heard the story, the man's name was Philippe. So Philippe gets on the high wire with his wheelbarrow. If you can picture this, one foot in front of the other, he's moving his wheelbarrow and using it as the balancing device, and he makes it all the way across. When he gets to the other side, the reporters and photographers are there, and they're taking pictures and asking questions. And one reporter in particular was pretty tenacious. So Philippe looked at him, and he said, "Do you think I can do it again?" And the reporter thought about it, and he said, "Okay, yeah, I think you can do it again." Well, then Philippe changed the question. He said, "Do you believe I can do it again?" Well, the reporter didn't really grasp the significance of that difference. And he says, okay, I believe you can do it again. Philippe dumped the 200 pounds of rock out of the wheelbarrow and said, okay, then get in.
Wow.
If you believe, get in the wheelbarrow with me.
Wow.
Let's go.
What did he do?
that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? If you believe, you'll commit. In other words, I know how this story is going to end. And if you believe how the story is going to end, you will commit everything. You'll commit yourself, your time, your energy, your resources. You'll commit everything. But if you don't actually believe in how the story is going to end, if you have doubt, you won't get in the wheelbarrow. You won't get in your own dream. You won't really put yourself into it. You won't really go through the process of overcoming all obstacles because you don't actually believe this is going to happen.
Wow. Yeah, what a story.
Oh, it's a great story. And it's so powerful because if you stop and think about it, the people who accomplish great things, if you go back and ask them a question like, well, you know, did you ever think it would turn out this, you know, this great, this wonderful? They'll look at you and go, well, yes, of course. I believed from the beginning. I knew how this story was going to end. And when I think back to my wife and I, Cindy, when we left our jobs in Minnesota because we had decided to become national water ski champions, and we quit our jobs and we sold the house and we sold one car, our friends looked like at us like we were crazy. You know, I was just about 30 years old. I had a great job. We quit and left all of that because we wanted to become national water ski champions. I knew how that story was going to end. I just knew, I just believed with all my heart that if we go do this, that's what's going to come from this. And if you don't believe that, you'll find every excuse to hold back. And then when things don't work out, you say, well, you know, I never really believed it was going to happen anyway.
Right. So you're a perfect example of literally getting in your own wheelbarrow and
that's
headed over that water.
We did. We got in the wheelbarrow. And every person I've met who's accomplished great things, you know, they didn't just wish great things. They believed this can happen. This will happen. So now we have to ask ourselves, okay, so why is it that some people don't believe? What's getting in the way? And the truth is that there are roadblock messages rattling around in their heads, all right? Messages that they got from their parents and from themselves. They're actually lies that they believe. We all have some lies that we believe, by the way. Let's take this as an example. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I'm not very good at remembering names?
Sure, all the time.
Okay. Or, I can't get organized. I'm not very good at being, I'm not organized. Or here's another one. I can't lose weight. I can't stick to a diet. All right. All these are actually lies that we believe. They're things, they are like a tape. It's like a tape running in your head on a tape recorder. And it keeps playing. You keep hearing it. It's self-talk. Self-talk is that little voice you started hearing in your head about age 5 or 6.
Right.
All right. And once you start to believe those messages, once you start to buy into that, then you will act in accordance with those messages. You will act in a way that is consistent with what you believe to be true. Everyone acts in ways that's consistent with what they believe to be true. So where do these messages come from? Let's imagine that you're a child and your mom and dad say things like this to you. Oh, you're so neat and tidy. Oh, you play so well with your toys. Oh, you're so organized. Oh, you never are a mess. I never have to clean up after you. You're constantly getting a message that as a child, you're very neat, tidy, and organized. And where is this message coming from? From a very credible source. Mm-hmm. Your parents,
right,
who know everything, right? So you start to absorb that, believe it, and then you even start to say things about that, about yourself. As you grow up, you go, well, I'm a very organized person.
Right.
Yes, I am very neat. Right. And so it sinks in. So this message, which started out like a footpath in your brain, became a sidewalk. And then it became a two-lane road. And now it's a four-lane freeway carrying information about you that you have come to believe is true. Well, what if your parents were the kind of parents who kind of jokingly said, oh, Mary, you're just a little pig pen. You're just a little mess. I mean, I have to clean up after you after every meal. And you break your toys and your clothes are always dirty. And you're so disorganized, you would grow up to believe that that's true about you. So now go back and think about all the messages that you and I have gotten through the years from our parents, from our teachers, coaches, people who are significant in our lives, people who are credible in our lives. And if we accepted those messages, internalized them, believed them, and then start to say them ourselves, those are beliefs that we have come to act upon.
Wow. Hey, parents out there, if you want your child to be neat and tidy, make sure you tell them that they're neat and tidy.
Yeah. And it even goes beyond just saying, you are. It really is, you point out specific things about their behaviors that you want to reinforce. Oh, I like the way that you picked up your toys today.
Right.
Oh, I really like the way you cleaned up your room today. Oh, my, you are getting very, you know, you're getting really good at keeping track of things. So now we're building very positive messages, and why shouldn't we, right?
Right.
Why wouldn't we do that? What good does it do us to sit around and tell somebody how we wish they'd never be? In other words, to point out to them things that we don't like.
Right.
Because all we're doing is helping them become that very thing. So now, how much do you believe about yourself what do you believe about yourself when it comes to your dream? What do you believe is true about your chances of overcoming the obstacles? What do you believe is true will affect the movies that you play in your head when you're in that third phase, imagining? Isn't this interesting?
This is so interesting. And for those of you that are just joining us, we're here with David Benzel, author of From Chump to Champ. This is awesome stuff, David. I love hearing this. It really makes you think about every little thing that you say, that you hear, that you write down. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
It all connects.
And you know, in our world, there are people who are constantly sending us messages. If you remember the movie The Wizard of Oz, mm-hmm. All right? Well, I call these people who send us messages wizards. And they come in two flavors, positive and negative wizards. Okay, so Dorothy went to see The Wizard of Oz because he was a very credible person. And she went to see him because she believed he could get her home.
Right.
All right? So whatever the wizard would say would be, of course, believed. So your parents were wizards for you. My parents are wizards for me. As we grew up, we had coaches who were wizards. So if you got a positive wizard giving you very positive, encouraging messages about you, you of course, believed them. You acted accordingly. But to this day, we probably each also have some negative wizards in our lives.
Sure.
We have some people who are negative or who say negative things. Oh, you can't do that. Or, that's a little bit beyond your reach. You sure you should try for that? You know, or you're not very good at. And so they're sending us negative messages.
Right. And it's easier to dwell on the negative messages than the positive.
Yeah, sure.
Messages.
I mean, then it becomes our excuse
for
mediocrity. So we got to learn to stay away from negative wizards, spend less and less time with them, spend more and more time with positive wizards. And then you ask yourself, for whom am I a wizard? Oh, yes. Yeah. See, you and I are wizards. And parents out there are wizards for their kids. And they have to teach their kids that as they grow up, they're actually going to be a wizard for someone else. They're going to influence someone else. All right, so now let's talk about how do we change these tapes that are playing in our head, because we all have some. Some of them are very good and helpful. We have some others that aren't good. The roadblock messages are the lies we believe. Let's take one like, I can't stick to a diet. That's a great one. If that's a tape running in a person's head, I can't stick to a diet, let's remember that that's not a fact. That's just a belief. And in the context of computers, like a computer is hardware, right? And Word or PowerPoint is software that runs on it. The self-talk you hear in your head is your software. Your brain is the hardware. So there's nothing wrong with your hardware. Your brain is just fine.
Right.
The problem is the software that's running on it. So the biggest difference between a person who can lose weight on a diet and the person who can't lose weight on a diet, the biggest difference is whether they believe they can or not.
Right?
The person who believes they can lose weight on a diet loses weight on the diet. And the person who does not doesn't believe that they actually are capable of losing weight on the diet. So the only difference is what they believe. So what do I have to change? Well, I have to change these statements that I hear rattling around in my brain. I cannot go on day after day saying things like, oh, I'm no good at sticking to a diet. Oh, I can't lose weight. Because every time you say that, the subconscious grabs that thought, does not judge it as true or false, right or wrong. It just grabs it and holds it and assumes it's true. So now it allows all behaviors, in fact, it even encourages behaviors that line up with that belief.
So you say, oh, I can't stick to a diet. I can't stick to the diet. Yeah. I might as well go eat that bag of Cheetos.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. Your subconscious is perfectly willing to let you eat the bag of Cheetos because that's consistent with your dominant belief, which is, I can't stick to a diet. So what we have to do is change the sentences that we hear. We are the authors of all that stuff going on in our head. I mean, yes, we got some of it from our parents, but once you get to a certain age, you have to realize I'm old enough to change those statements. Right. I have to write new ones. So here are the rules for writing new self-talk statements. Number one, the sentence has to be positive. So it can't be, I cannot. You know, it has to be an I can, I am, I enjoy, I love. It has to be in the present tense, so it cannot be I will, because I will is future.
Right.
And that the subconscious does not deal with that very well. So it has to be in the present tense, I can, I am, I love to, I enjoy, I am capable of, all those kinds of things. So it's positive, present tense, and it has to be encouraging. It has to have some emotional power to it. Because whatever we believe with feeling, that becomes our reality. Brian Tracy has a thing that he says, whatever we believe with feeling becomes your reality. It's like a law. It's a law of the universe. So I would have to take a statement like, I can't stick to a diet, and rewrite it to say, I am disciplined about what I eat. Did you hear that? I am very disciplined about what I eat.
And you even just said that with confidence.
Sure.
Just the way you say it.
Sure. And so now your subconscious grabs that and says, oh, wow. I'm going to look for some more of that. I'm going to look for evidence of that.
Right.
You could have another sentence that says, I am good at resisting the urge to eat unhealthy food. I am good at resisting the urge to eat. You know, I can walk past chocolate cake. I can say no to desserts. All kinds of great sentences that you could be saying to yourself that would create a picture in your head. And last week we talked about the power of pictures. When we create pictures, our brain grabs those pictures, just like it grabs our words, doesn't judge them as right or wrong, true or false, good or bad, just says, that's the way we're going to move. That's what we want. That's what we want life to look like.
Right.
So I need to be saying very positive things to myself. A person who's smoking, doesn't want to smoke, wants to stop smoking. Oh, I just can't quit smoking. Yeah, well, of course, because you keep saying that. Oh, but right. What if you said to yourself, I am a non-smoker. I am a non-smoker. I am disciplined. I am a non-smoker. Now, what would a non-smoker never do? Smoke.
Right.
They would never light up, would they?
Never.
Right, never.
Don't even like to be around it.
Right. So if you continually bombarded your brain with the message, I am a non-smoker, and you formed an identity of yourself and a picture in your head of yourself as a non-smoker, lighting up a cigarette would be completely inconsistent with that. And you couldn't justify it. It's illogical. All right? So now think of the power of this, Mary. If we could help our children understand that they can control their life going forward by the sentences they continually allow in their own heads. What I have found that parents tell me is that parents know it's good to be positive. And they'll say to a kid, oh, don't be negative, don't be negative. And kids will kind of look at them and go, oh, that's just more of that positive stuff, you know.
Right.
Look, I know I'm no good in math. I can't do math. I'm no good in math. So don't tell me to be positive. Well, the problem is that every time a child keeps saying I'm no good in math, they're actually reinforcing to the subconscious mind that they're no good in math. They come to believe that lie, and then it's okay to perform that way. What children have to actually be taught is that how they talk to themselves does make a difference. It's how the brain works. It doesn't matter whether they like it or not. This is how the brain works.
Right.
So why not help yourself have a better chance at math by saying things like this? Now, you don't have to lie to yourself. You don't have to say, I'm brilliant at math. You know, I have a perfect score in math on the SAT. No, you don't have to say that because right. We know it's not true. But you could say to yourself, I enjoy solving problems. I work hard at solving problems. I'm good at getting help when I have trouble with a problem. All right? I take each problem and study it. Do you hear these sentences? These are the little parts that make people good at math, right?
Right.
Yeah. They study the problem. They work hard at it. They get help if they need it. And so if I saw in myself a picture of a person who works hard at math, who studies the problem, who gets help when I need it, I would suddenly get a different picture of myself as right. a person in the math class.
Now, how do we portray that to a young child, though? Do you think a 6, 7, 8-year-old is really going to understand?
Well,
do you tell them to say those phrases?
Yeah, children that young typically don't have as many negative phrases.
Right.
You know, usually we get closer to junior high school is when this mm-hmm. negative stuff starts coming in and we start hearing ourselves say these negative things.
Right.
What we have to do is from a very early, well, two things. Set an example as a parent. As a parent, say things that are positive about ourselves. Children actually get a little distressed when they hear their parents say something like, oh, I'm such a schmuck, you know, oh, I'm such right. a bozo. Oh, I'm doing so poorly at this, or I'm no good at this. Children look at their parents and go, really? I mean, it's like, it kind of takes their breath away. I'm so disappointed to hear that my mom or my dad is saying these negative things about themselves. Kids, by their very nature, find that wrong.
Right.
Right.
It's almost like someone else is picking on mom
or
dad. You're not
right.
going to let them say something bad.
Yeah. Why are you picking on yourself? I mean, I think kids naturally understand this is not right. But then the more they hear it, the more they think, well, it must be acceptable. So I'll look around in my life, find out where maybe I think I'm not as good as other kids, and I'll start to say those things. Well, this only makes it worse. So parents have to set an example. They don't have to say, I'm the greatest, or I can do everything. What they can say is, I work hard at the things that are more challenging for me. I work hard at the things that are, I spend more time on things that don't come as easily. See, that's okay, right? Because mm-hmm. now we're teaching a child, first of all, you won't be good at everything, but you can work hard at everything.
Right.
You can be disciplined at everything. Even a simple sentence like, I work hard, I learn about the things that I even don't like. Right? Because sometimes there's stuff we don't like.
Plenty of times.
Yeah.
Well, especially in school.
Yeah.
I don't like science. I don't like English. I don't like math.
Sure. And you know what? You're free to not like it. It's okay. You don't have to like it. But you can have in your head this idea of, I work hard and I'm self-disciplined about the things that don't come easily. And I work faster and easier at the things that do come easily.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So why wouldn't we work on our computers? Why wouldn't we give our software an upgrade? Because that's all it is. It's software. We give it an upgrade. Some parents will say, don't think that way. Don't say that. But if you stop and think about it, there's no picture for the word don't, so that doesn't help. And you're really suggesting that you can hit the delete button. Well, on a computer, you can hit delete. And what happens? Screen goes blank, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with your brain. There is no blank screen in brain. The brain is always thinking something. So the only option you have is to overwrite. You cannot hit delete. So don't even bother to say, don't do that, or don't think that, or don't say that. I'd leave that whole kind of conversation out of there. You can tell kids, here's what would be more helpful for you to say. This is more helpful. I am disciplined. I work hard. I enjoy trying. I am making progress. Even that's a great sentence. I'm making progress at math. All right. I'm getting better at hitting a curveball. In soccer, I can kick better with my left foot than I did a year ago at this time, or even a month ago. I am making progress. So all these I am statements, if they're positive, the subconscious is just going to help you move toward that direction.
Right.
And it is a skill. It's a life skill that we should be teaching our kids and give them examples. Maybe even give them examples of our own negative feelings that we've had to overcome as parents. Do you realize the power of that? Of a mom or dad sitting down and saying, you know, I used to think this about myself and then I changed it. I changed it. I changed how I talk to myself. And I overcame that roadblock message that I somehow got.
Right. And once you get that covered, I mean, a mom or a dad saying that to their child, their kids can say, well, if mom can do it, I want to do it too.
Yes.
I want to be like them. So they're going to change the way they think and try to.
I do a neat little exercise in one of my workshops that I want to tell you about very quickly. I will write down a 32-digit number in front of everybody on a big board. And then I'll say to everyone in the audience, okay, I need you to take a couple minutes and memorize this 32-digit number. And you should see the looks I get on people's faces, or I'll hear them say out loud, oh, yeah, right, no way. You know, so I'll hear all this kind of negative. And so I'll let them kind of work at it for a couple minutes, and I say, does anyone need help? And then I'll go ahead and teach them a strategy for learning the 32-digit number. And within 4 minutes, I can have everyone in the room be able to recite the 32-digit number. And by the way, before we learn it, I'll say one of you is going to have to come up here and write it out for everybody. Well, then you ought to see the heads duck. You know, everybody's looking for cover at that point. So 4 to 5 minutes later, I've taught the whole room the 32-digit number, and I ask them, what did you hear that little quiet voice in your head say when I said, here's a 32-digit number, and one of you is going to have to come up here and write it down? And they all admit to me that they heard a voice that said, oh, no way.
Right.
I can't do that.
It's the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah. But I said, okay, now we are 4 to 5 minutes later. How many of you know the 32-digit number and could write it down? And every hand goes up because everybody's learned it. So wait a minute. What happened in that 4 to 5 minutes? What changed? Because now you say, I can do it. And 4 minutes ago, you said, I can't do it. Did I change any of your abilities? I mean, you have to be careful. This is a trick question. Did I change your ability? The answer is no. I didn't change your ability. I just gave you a strategy that you didn't have before. Everybody in the room had the ability to learn a 32-digit number. What they lacked was the strategy. And yet their self-talk had them believing that they could not. That's a perfect example of what we do in life so often.
That is.
We start out with, I can't. I don't think I can do that.
Right.
That's too hard for me. No, it's not. You just haven't found the right strategy yet. So if you're listening right now at home, take a piece of paper and write this down. This is like the ultimate strategy for performance. So P is for performance. And it is the sum total of, we'll say, three things. Number one, the talents and gifts you've been given. Whatever was put into the clay in the beginning. Everybody's been dealt certain talent cards. No one was dealt all of the talent cards. So everybody has some. So that's the first ingredient. You take your talents, your gifts, you add it to the next ingredient, which is strategy. We're all going through life looking for what works. You're trying to figure out what works in this economy. You're trying to figure out what works in parenting. Your kids are trying to figure out what works in school or what works in sports. We're all looking for strategies. The third thing that we add is effort. How hard will I work at this? Now, if you draw a line and add those three things together, your talents, your strategy, and your effort, you will come up with one of two things, success or, now here's where everybody wants to say, or failure. No, there's no failure. There's only delayed success. There is no such thing as failure unless you quit.
Right.
Okay. But if you don't quit, there's success or there's delayed success. Now, if you get delayed success, meaning you didn't get the outcome you wanted, which one of the three things do you think you need to look at first? Strategy. There's nothing wrong with you. Everything you need is basically inside you already. You're looking for the right strategy. So when you're not losing weight, you haven't found the right strategy, if that's your dream. If you're not, you know, hitting the ball in baseball the way you want to, chances are there's nothing wrong with you. More than likely, you haven't found the right strategy yet. All right? So what sentences are you going to allow in your head that help you find the right strategy? All right? If you don't think you're good in math, what sentences would help you find the right strategy? There's nothing wrong with you. So this is, this all builds up to the belief thing, right? Because once I believe I can, I'll just keep looking for the right strategy because I already know how this story is going to end.
Right.
Successful. I'm going to make progress. I'm going to get better. I'm going to go from chump to champ. If people are not getting the results they want, they either have to say, do I really believe? And do I have the right strategy? It's always a combination of those two.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's just life 101.
This is great. And this is just a little part of what's in the book, From Chump to Champ.
Yes.
So why don't you go ahead and tell people how they can get a copy of this book? Because I know after hearing this, everybody's just dying to run out and get it.
Yeah. From Chump to Champ is available a couple places. The best place to buy it is actually at my website, because then you will get an autographed copy. So if you go to you can go to Growing Champions for Life, which is our company name, growingchampionsforlife.com or .org, either one, growingchampionsforlife.org or .com. And on the homepage of that website, you'll find a link to our little bookstore where you can buy the book, From Chump to Champ, and I will make sure you get an autographed copy. You can use your credit card there. You can also buy it on Amazon.com